The Choshev Echelik of the Sefer Orchis Tzadikim in the Reishis Chochmah, he quotes him extensively in the Shar Yerushimayim. Regarding the Shar Yerushimayim, the Baal Reishis Chochmah brings the Sefer quite a few times. But as we mentioned, he only had the Sefer, the Reishis Chochmah only had the Orchis Tzadikim in manuscript. Did not have it in printed form. And as he also mentioned, it was not called at the time, it was not called Orchis Tzadikim. But he refers to it, the Reishis Chochmah refers to the Sefer called Sefer Hamidus. The Reishis Chochmah, as it were, was born in Tzfas, we mentioned in the 1500s, and he was Nifter in Hebron, towards the end of the 1500s. We had mentioned that he was the Talmud of the Ramak, Ramoshe Cordoviro. Anybody who was in the Bisachai Mayoshin Tzfas, where people go to the caver of the Arizal. Mamish right there is the caver of Rav Moshe Cordoviro, talking about the similar tzkufa, the same time frame as the Arizal. And with the Arizal himself considered him to be the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordoviro, to be one of the greatest Balaam Kubalim of his time. And the Reishis Chochmah, name is Rabbi Eliyahu, Eliyahu Divadas, was a Talmud of the Ramak of Rav Moshe Cordoviro. And the Sefer Reishis Chochmah became quite popular. As a matter of fact, it was very popular to the fact that the Chidah writes that, and he urges that every person should set aside a daily period of some limud in the Sefer Reishis Chochmah. It's kedai to mention that because of its popularity, they felt there was a need to have it abridged in a short form, the Sefer Reishis Chochmah. So, first of all, the Mechaber himself, Rabbi Eliyahu himself, the Mechaber of the Reishis Chochmah, he himself did a short version, an abridged version, and he called it Toitzoas Chaim, the Toitzoa, which means what we extracted, that which was extracted, the Toitzoa of Chaim, teaching the ways of life. That was the name that he gave to the abridged version of the Reishis Chochmah. Also, by the way, in the abridged version, he also added some Kabbalistic Kavonis for Tefillah, the Baal Reishis Chochmah. And the interesting, others as well made abridged versions to the Sefer Reishis Chochmah. There's a Sefer which is called Tapuche Zohov, printed in Italy in 1623, an abridged version of the Reishis Chochmah. And then there was another Mgoro by the name of Reb Yaakov Poyeto, Italian, printed in Venice in the year 1600, also an abridged version. And it enjoyed very great popularity, and it was reprinted numerous times. Interesting just to say that the Chidah quotes B'Shem Reb Chaim Vital. Chaim Vital, of course, which was the Choshev Talmud of the Arizal. Most of the teachings of the Arizal that we have is based upon, the Arizal himself didn't write, wrote very little. But the teachings that we have from the Arizal is from, which was given over to his Talmud, Reb Chaim Vital. And the way his Kabbalah is, you know, it's a Kabbalistic teaching. In a very short time, they say something like within a year's time, all the secrets of Kabbalah, I mean everything that we have, the whole world of Kabbalah, and with all of its depth, was the Arizal gave over, you know, to his Talmud, Reb Chaim Vital, in such a, mamish, a very, very short period of time. And the Reb Chaim Vital, the Chidah brings, writes that the Reishis Chochmah and his Rebbe, Reb Moshe Cordoviro, he said, we're so connected as a Rebbe and a Talmud that first of all, they almost shared the same Shayrish Neshama, that the root of the Neshama was the same, namely, very interesting, that both the Reishis Chochmah and his Rebbe, the Ramak, had the Nefesh and the Ruach of Zechariah ben Yehoyada, which is mentioned Tanakh, that they had the Nefesh and Ruach of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. And being that they had the Nefesh and the Ruach of the same person going back so far, therefore they had this tremendous ahava, the tremendous closeness that they had one with the other. And then the Chidah says that I saw someplace else written, the Chidah writes, that the Reishis Chochmah, Rav Eliyahu, had a Shayrish Neshama, he says, from Avtalia. We have the Shemaya of Avtalia. So he heard, he saw the Sefer Echor, he saw some other place, it was written that Reishis Chochmah's Shayrish Neshama was from Avtalia. Shmaya Vavtalian. So it's very interesting that this was one of the things, you know, of the various different secrets that the Arizal gave over to Reb Chaim Vital. There's also a Sefer HaGilgulim, which the Arizal was able to identify people's neshama, where they came from, the shayrish of their neshamas, and if it's the first time that a neshama is here, or if this is the second time, reincarnated, and so on and so forth. That was, of course, the koyach of the Arizal. Interesting, again, further to mention, that the Chidah also says that the Sefer Reishis Chochma, he writes, it's a Sefer Kodesh V'Noira, HaMefursim Mechol Yisrael, and he says, as we mentioned, Ashrei Yodam She'ilmad Boi Kol Yoim V'yaseh Keva Shir Echod. And if he does that, Vada Yisnoitzis Boi Kedush V'Tahara, there's no doubt that this will certainly inspire and ignite a spark of Kedush and Tahara in the person who studies the Reishis Chochma. Now, he goes on further to say that the Reishis Chochma, when the Sefer came out, the Magid, as a matter of fact, the Magid that was a Rebbe of the Beis Yosef, meaning that the Beis Yosef, as you know, had a Malach, which is known as the Magid, who came to teach him. And the teachings that the Beis Yosef, the Machaber de Shulchan Aruch, that he received from the Magid, it was written down in a Sefer called Magid Meishorim. And it's brought down there that the Magid told the Beis Yosef that he should learn Musar every day. In other words, even a great person like the Beis Yosef, no question, he was the great tzaddik, one of the greatest tzaddikim, certainly one of the greatest goyim and so on, but nevertheless, you learn Musar every day. So, he brings down that a person by the name of Reb Chaim HaKoyen writes that now that the Sefer Reishis Chochma is around, the Sefer is on the scene, so he's going to study it every day. And the Chidah brings down something very fascinating, that the Marshal, the Shloime Luria, the time of the Marshal, right, going back to the same Tkufa, going back to the same time, going back more than four centuries ago, that the Marshal, as great as a Goyin as he was, but being that he, as Goyinim are, and we're studying now in the Orech HaTzaddikim, Shaar HaNova, humility, so a great person such as the Marshal was, one of the greatest poskim of all time, the Marshal actually arranged to have a moichiach, to have someone to give him musar. We know that the Vilna Goyin did the same thing, that the Vilna Goyin had someone out there to give him musar. Now who can give musar to the Vilna Goyin? Yeah, the Vilna Goyin did not feel that he was above reproach. It's only the question is, who took it upon himself to be able, even to stand in front of the Goyin, try to give musar to the Goyin? But upon him, so the Marshal as well, that he instructed a particular person who was known as a Moichiach, someone who was a Magid who gave Musar, was known to give Musar, that he should come to give him Musar. And the Chidah writes that B'chol Yoim, for Shoah Achas, he should come and give him Musar. And he said, don't think of me being the Marshal standing here in front of you, but think of me as any other average Jew, he says, and give me all the Musar, give me all the Musar that you would give anybody else. I don't want any favoritism, but give me whatever you have to say, I want you to say. And he pointed out, the Chidah, that when the Mechiach was giving him Musar, the Mashal sat very humbly, wrapped around in a talus like this, like he was ready to take it. And here talking about the Godel Hador, you know, put himself in that position, just ready to accept and to hear words of Musar. So the Chidah writes, Ashrov, fortunate is he, Vashrei Chelkoi. And fortunate is our people to have such great people like the Marshal. He is such a man of such godless, but at the same time his anivus, that he sat with great humility, allowing someone who certainly was much greater, I can guarantee you, than whoever gave him Musa, no matter who that Mashiach was. And yet this is the structure that he set out for himself. Just a slight variation of the Marshal instructing someone to give him Musa. His interesting thing is that on the Sefer Reishis Chochma, there is a haskoma from the Shoyl Umeshiv, the Lemba Geruf, Reb Yosef Shol Natanzon, tremendous goyim, tremendous genius, maybe one time we'll talk about him, but a tremendous goyim. And Reb Yosef Shol Natanzon brings in his haskoma that he's a descendant of the Marshal, Reb Yosef Shol. He's a descendant of the Marshal, and he writes there, Shomati, I heard that my Zayde, Hagoyin Marshal, Hoyloi Moichiach, like the Chidah brings, that he had someone to give him Musar, who came to give him Musar every day, that instead of like the Chidah writing that he was sitting, but he was Omad Lefon of Meloika Musar, but he sat at attention, just listening to what the Moichiach had to say, the Bal Musar had to say to him. And he writes that from the moment that the Sefer Reishis Chochma came on the scene, He says, "Umeis asher zorach hamachberes halos," from the time that this sefer began to shine out on the scene, "ach yotza yotza." So the heavy machberes halos lo hechir boy. So, and he brought the sefer, and the mashal looked into the sefer, and he started studying the sefer Reishis Chochma, and the mashal says, "Ad koy lo yoda eze mokem yiratoy." Till now, I did not know what true Yerushalayim means. So said the mashal. Until actually, he was learning the sefer Reishis Chochma. So again, I'm sure the Reishis Chochma, you don't need to talk about the godless, but the mashal, again, this is also an indication of his great humility. You can be sure the mashal had a lot of Yerushalayim before that as well, but nevertheless, he was so inspired. And to receive whatever he was learning from the Sefer Reishis Chochma that he points out all of that godless. So we're mentioning just because the Reishis Chochma, himself gleans from the Sefer Orcha Sadikim that we are studying, but from a different Shar. We're studying now Shar Huanova, right, that deals with humility, but as the Sefer, as you can see, there's many, many gates, many, many Shorim, and the Shar Yerushimayim, that's where the Sefer Reishis Chochma quotes the Orcha Sadikim. So we'll take a look now, Rabbeisai, Daf Chof Gimel. Page Daf Chof Gimel, the Yorcha Sadikim. We are in the middle there, V'Iker Hoanova. Okay, right in the middle there. V'Iker Hoanova. Yorcha Sadikim goes on to explain what is really, right, the true, and the one of the highest madregas of Hoanova. What is the mainstay of Hoanova? What is the main of humility? So the main way, because humility itself can be expressed in many, many ways. I will go on to show you. There are different levels of humility. There are different levels in the middah of Hoanova. So here he says, the Ikar of Hoanova. What is the Ikar of Hoanova? The Ikar, he says, of Hoanova is, Shiyakona, that a person should humble himself, La'oison shein tachtov. You see, those people that are beneath you, in other words, that you are above them, let's say a person that has servants. The greatest level of humility is that one who is really the master should humble himself before his own servants. It does not mean that there should not be any order, that the servants should be able just to live a life of freedom, not doing what they have to. The servants have to do what they have to do. But the master should not express himself in a way that shows pride, but in fact, the godless of Hoanova is, right, to show humility even people that are beneath him. In other words, he's going lavodo, people are his servants, he should treat them with utmost respect. Members of his household. Even though he calls himself the king of his castle, he's the balabus, right? Nevertheless, he should have humility in front of them as well. And lo'oysamaniyim, and he should have humility for people to whom he extends donations, he contributes to them. So these people, on the one hand, are beholden to them. These are niyim, these are poor people. They don't have very little self-esteem. He should be machnia, he should show humility to them also. Even though that they are poor people, they have no influence. They are people who have to come on to him. So if anything, these people should feel beholden to him, and he should have a koras hatoif, but he should not take it as that. But lo'isam aniyim, he should also have humility for those poor people, Hashem misparnasim, right? Venehenim emena, people who are being fed by him, people who benefit by him, from him. He should show humility to them also. But who ain't a sarachlem, he doesn't need them. Venehyoimem, he's not afraid of them. He's the master, he has servants. The servants, if anything, are afraid of him. Yet, the Ikar Hoanova, the highlight of Hoanova, is to be able to show humility even to such people who are so much beneath him, below him, and yet he's able to show respect to them in regards of the midah of humility. And he goes on further. Also, Hanichna le'almonoi sulegeirim. The examples that he gives, various examples, is to show the same point. That the highlight of humility is to show Hoanova to people who are the most vulnerable. And therefore it's so easy to be proud over them. It's so easy, right, to rule over them. It's so easy to be above them. Dapke to those people, right, who are so vulnerable, and you still humble yourself before them, that is really the highlight of Hoanova. So he says, well, for example, Hanichna l'almonos, one who humbles themselves, widows, l'gerim, or converts, v'soyveil torchum amasom, and he bears their trials and their burdens. Furthermore, v'ashemeach erposoi ve'enoi meshiv. An example of humility is that someone who is able, right, to contain himself when he is being degraded and he does not answer back. Tremendous smile. All part of it, he points out Ikar Hoanova. This is all part of Ikar Hoanova. Because it takes a lot of strength. And it takes a lot of understanding. It takes a lot of development to work out, to refine this midah anova. To be a person that's a shemeach or posoi, who is able to hear and to listen how he's being degraded, venomeshiv machmas goydel and the sinusoi, because of the great midah of anova that he has. Zuhi anova yeshara ma'oid. This is a high order of humility. And then he goes further. Yesh oid anova toive me'oid. But he said there's also another midah. There's another part. There's another extremely high level of anova. There's another high level of anova, and that is, as he points out, and that is kegoin mi shenichna lifnei raboi v'lifnei chachomim. There's an inyan, of course, that a person should humble himself in front of his teachers, in front of wise men. You know, it says in Pirkei Avos, it says the heavy misavek, it says be'ovok ragleim, that a person should roll in the dust, you know, of Talmid HaChachomim. A person should totally humble himself when it comes to great people. It says actually the heavy misavek be'ofor ragleim. So says the Mishnah Novos. And as a matter of fact, the Ojer of a Rebbe, the Moshe Yechiel, Mechaber of the Sefer Eshdos, the great, great man, you know, in our time, not so long ago, I remember, I think in the early 50s, that he had come for a Shabbos in Toronto, Canada, where I grew up, and there was something very interesting about his Hanogia, that on Shabbos he only spoke Lashon Kodesh, not speak any Lashon Chol. Only language that he spoke on Shabbos was Lashon Kodesh. And his whole life was a life, of course, of extreme chassidus and piety, and of tzidkis, a great tzaddik that he was. And the Mechaber of the Sefer Eshdos, something like 15 volumes or so. And that Sefer runs through the gamut of tremendous knowledge in all areas of Torah, Medroshim, Zohar HaKodesh, a lot of knowledge in those areas, Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medroshim, all over the place. A tremendous, tremendous bokeh he was. So he mentions Vavim Misavik Bofar Agleim, because it says two things. The Mishnah says, a person should roll in the dust of these great people. It means that a person should try to associate himself, right, and humble himself before them. And it says, next, the Mishnah says, Vavishos Bisomo Devraim, drink their words with thirst. So he points out there's two things being said. That a person, being in the presence of great people, Avada, he should learn from them. That means drink with thirst what they have to say. But even if they say nothing, have a misavik, roll in the dust of defeat, means to say, just to be in the presence of greatness, you're going to be influenced also. Just being in the presence. So besides having shoyse, drinking, but some of the brain, avade, if they speak, absorb it, drink it. But even if they don't say anything, have a misavik, be'ofar aglayim, what that means is roll in the dust of their feet. The expression is, just try to find yourself being in close proximity to them. Try to associate with great people. And that alone will have tremendous influence, and you'll become a better person for all that. So the Yochai Tzadikim goes on here to say, and says that a person who is nichna, a person who humbles himself, right, before his Rebbe, and before Chachomim, and velifnei Tzadikim, and before, of course, he humbles himself before Tzadikim, righteous people, ha-hoilchim edak yisharim, people who go in a just path. You notice what he says? Two things. He says, be nichna, be humble yourself, he says, in front of Chachomim and in front of Tzadikim. He said two things. They don't have to be two things. Because, you know, many times you have great Tzadikim, but they are not known as being the Godla Dor in Torah. People go for a bracha to great Rebbes, right, where their hallmark is their Avodas Hashem, the tremendous Yir Shamayim. And then there are other people who their hallmark is, right, their godless is godless b'toyro. So Chachomim, when you talk about Chachomim, b'nichna in front of Chachomim, speaking about Chachomim, wise people, mean to say people who are g'doyle b'toyro. But also b'nichna, also humble yourself for tzaddikim, which maybe even, right, they don't project, right, they don't project as being the forte, so to speak, extreme godless b'toyro. Maybe that's what you don't see, but they are tzaddikim. For that alone, you should be a nichna to them. As a matter of fact, very interesting, you know, Parshas Baloischa, when Aharon and Miriam spoke out against Moshe Rabbeinu, now Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the Musar, among other things, you might remember the Loshon, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ma'adua lo yereisim, how is it that you were not afraid, how did you not fear l'daber to speak against Ba'avdi B'Moshe, against my servant who serves me so faithfully, Moshe. So you hear Kodesh Baruch Hu describes Moshe Rabbeinu, he mentions him, his name, Moshe, and Ba'avdi. My dua lo yeresim, why is it that you had no fear? How did you not have fear? to speak out against Be'avdi, against my servant, and Be'moshe. And Rashi says, Moshe Aval Pisha Enoi Avdi, Avdi Aval Pisha Enoi Moshe. These are two separate milas. Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that he's a Moshe Rabbeinu, even if he would not be Avdi, would not be my Eved, but the fact that he's a Moshe Rabbeinu, he deserves COVID. And the other way around also, if he's Avdi, a person who serves Hashem, he may not be as great as a Moshe. It's Be'avdi u'be'moshe. Two things. Person has great qualities, either he's extreme Eved Hashem, or he's extreme Godel B'Torah. Moshe. Of course, when we say Godel B'Torah, by the way, without Yerushalayim is nothing. We always have to be a Yerushalayim. But we're talking about what is the main, right, what is the main emphasis of, in a person's greatness, what comes out. So in any case, so the Yerushalayim Tzadikim tells us that we should seek to humble ourselves in front of Chachom, in front of Tzadikim, and v'choshev b'liboy, and a person should say to himself, Elohim, these people are the Avdei Hashem Baruch Hu. These people are the servants of Hashem. These are Mishorsov, these are those who serve Him. V'oyhavov, these are those who love Hashem. They express the mitzvah, haftos Hashem Elokecho. Who fulfills this mitzvah greater than these people, than these Chachom and Tzadikim? U'babruzeh, and for that reason, Yashpil Atzmoy Lifneim, he should lower himself, right, before them, Umechabdom, and he should honor them. Gamze Anova Toiva. This is also an addition, he says, it's also a good thing. Sheyachshoiv also means to say, it's not the greatest Madrega what's coming up now, but it's also good. What's also, it's a lower level of Anova. What is he saying? Gamze Anova Toiva, because he's speaking about giving kovet to Talmid Chachomim, till now. He's speaking about the person being Nichna, right? Being humble, showing humility to Talmid Chachomim and Tzadikim. He says, but it's also an Anova Toiva. It's also part of Anivis. Sheyachshav, it's also accepted to be an Anova for the following reason. What's the reason? Where a person says to himself, Ekona Lifne Chachomim, I will be humbled in front of these Chachomim because I want to get something out of it. What is that? Kedei Sheyakorvuni, because I want them to draw me near to them. Vilamduni, I want them to teach me. Vayoychichuni, I want them to give me Musar. And I want them to lead me bedakei Hashem Baruch Hu, in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, what the Orach Tzadikim is telling us, the truth is a person has to have hachnoah for Chachom and Tzadikim without expecting, right, to derive anything in exchange of that. There is an independent chiyuv, an obligation, a person to be nichnat to Chachom and Tzadikim. But even if you do expect to get something out of it, so you have an ulterior motive, but it's also good. Just humble yourself in front of Chachom Tzadikim. That's what he said. It's also good. In other words, Chachom and Tzadikim deserve your humility just for the fact that they are such great people. So they deserve that you give them the honor, you give them the respect, right? And you humble yourself before them. For no alternative reason. But it's also, if for any reason you also have a personal chayim, but you also have something that you expect to get out of it, and that's why, right, that motivates you to humble yourself, it's also Anova Toiva. It's Ogeda Maila. End of the day, you're humbling yourself in front of great people. And he goes on further. And he says, V'yesh oid Anova Toiva Moid. There's also another good form of humility. And that is very interesting. You remember he started out to say, one of the greatest forms of humility is when a master shows respect to his own people, right? When he shows respect to the people who are under him, to his servants, to members of his household. In the same way, he goes on to point out, it's a tremendous milah, anova toive moed, when a Rebbe can have really show, he has to show respect to a Talmud also. The Rebbe shouldn't say, I'm the Rebbe, right? I'm the teacher, he's just a student, he's nothing. Right? How does he compare to me? Right? So the Rebbe, says the Orach HaTzadikim, should also have proper respect, and should be machnia himself, and he shows, it's not just up here in the mind, in practice also. How in practice? How should a Rebbe be machnia? How should a Rebbe show humility in front of a Talmud? So he shows. It doesn't mean that he should go down, bow down in front of a Talmud. He's not asking him to do that. The Rebbe is not supposed to do that. But he's pointing out, how does a Rebbe show humility? In what way should a Rebbe show a nivus to a Talmud? So he says like this. Shikon alifnei Talmidov. The Rebbe should be machnia himself. The Rebbe should lower himself in front of his Talmidim. Meaning that v'yifarish lohem kososum, he should be ready to open up and to explain all difficulties in any area, right, of learning. In other words, to every Talmud according to his level. If someone is greater, right, so then the level, of course, the Rebbe would speak to him on a higher level. Someone is on the lower level, The Rebbe would speak to him. You know, the Rebbe has to adjust his manner of teaching. Not just say, you know what, I'm teaching, you know, who can understand is fine, who doesn't, let him fall by the wayside. No. The Rebbe has to see to it that every Talmud should be able to receive from him. And the Rebbe, therefore, right, that's the humility of the Rebbe, that he puts himself out. He puts himself to serve the Talmud. And therefore teaches each Talmud according to the level that he's able to grasp, according to the level that he's able to receive. And he goes on. And what happens if you have to repeat it, the subject matter? Let's say a certain student just didn't chop, he didn't understand, just didn't grasp it the first time. Says the Yochas Tzadikim, that's all part of the humility, to repeat it. V'yefaresh, you should explain, v'yachzer v'yefaresh. He should explain once, and then he should explain a second time, and don't do it with anger. Sometimes you'll do it, but you can see the disgust, you can see the Rebbe's upset. He has to do it over again. Why didn't you understand the first time? So he said, no, b'sever ponim yofes, you should do it with a pleasant expression. You should review it again. Explain it over and over again, he says. Achi yavino, until the Talmud understands it. V'lo yoyma, the Rebbe should not say. The Rebbe should not say, eich oshiv olav achi yovin. He says, how do you expect me to keep teaching him until he understands? V'lo libo koshi kevin, his heart is as hard as a stone. He's never going to understand. The Rebbe should not say that. Don't label him. Don't label the student. Don't label the Talmud. And he goes on to say, V'yisader ho'inyim benachas, come upon him. Let him review patiently, come upon him. By the way, you know, another, you look in Rashi and Chumash, V'ish Moshe onav miyoyit. We always touch another, humility, anivus. You know what part of the anivus is? Look at Rashi. This is, you know, you say the dictionary definition, that's Rashi. And Rashi explains something, that's the dictionary definition. The definition of Anovas is Rashi, Shofol v'savlon, someone who's humble, he's low, v'savlon, he has patience, he's soivel, he's tolerant. That's all part of it. To be able to be patient, that's all part of Anivas. To be able to be tolerant, it's all part of Anivas. That's all part of humility. And that's what he's saying over here, that v'yisader ho'inyim benachas, he should do it calmly, he should do it patiently, he should review it, come upon him. V'kvar yodato, he says, you are already aware, most likely, says the Orchid Tzadikim, it's a Gemara Neiriv in Daf Nundal. It's Chorei Shel Rab Preido. There was a Rebbe called Rabbi Preido. What does the Gemara say there? Shechozal Talmud Echad Arba Meyo Ispomim, who reviewed his subject matter 400 times. We'll soon see in the sheet about that. The idea of Rab Preido, the godless of Rab Preido. Can you imagine a teacher like that, a Rebbe like that? All the patience of the world. The Talmud didn't understand it. He goes on and on. Didn't give up on the Talmud. 400 times. He went to review the subject matter. And the Gemara tells us tremendous schar, which we'll talk about later. So in any case, he says, so you realize the great schar, you see how Shemayim admired that. And Shemayim appreciated that and gave him tremendous schar. We'll soon see the tremendous reward that Repreda received from Shemayim for the fact that he was mevatel himself and he was so humble for his Talmidim and had all the patience in the world. And he goes on further. V'yesh oida nova gedoilo. And there's also another form, right, of anivus, great form of anivus, and that is lilmoid lifnei aktanim, and that is a person should never hesitate to learn from even people who are not as great as you are, because no one single person knows everything, and even though you may be greater than another person out there, but there are areas, certain areas, that other person, although overall in the bigger picture, he's not as great as you, but there's something that he may know and you don't know it. And the fact that you are a greater person should not be a reason or a holdback to refrain from learning someone who is less intelligent than you. Because you can learn from each and every person. Every person has something that he can teach you. As he points out, you can learn from everyone. Lilmoid litne haktanin. That's part of a, that's called anova gedoyla. That's also yesh oid. That's another area of humility. Person should not refrain from learning from people who are below him, on a lower level than him is. V'lidroish mehem, yes, and go and ask them mashin elamemeno. If you don't know something and you figure maybe he knows the answer, you may be embarrassed. I, the great professor, I, the great goyin, you know, I'm going to go ask someone like that. I'm going to ask him something. If you feel that he knows the answer, don't feel it's beneath you, but go and ask him. Go and ask him. V'lo yoimar. And one should not say, as great as he is, a person shouldn't say, Eich el mad lifnezeh, how am I supposed to be learning from him? Eich edrish memeno, now how am I going to ask him a question? Hello, who caught memeni? He's below me, he's less than I am. Because precisely for that reason, What does the Pasuk say in Tehillim? It says, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti. Mikol Melamdai means from all my teachers I become wise. All. What does all mean? It literally means all. It doesn't mean dafke from great people you become wise. You can become wise from anyone who has something to impart to you. And he goes on further. Then Ma'oid Amar Rabbi Seinu, we also find the Mishnah in Ovi says, that Ma'oid Ma'oid have Ishfal Ruach Bifnei Kol Odom. That a person should be exceedingly, right, lowly, right, in front of every person. Lo'i Bifnei Agdoilim Levad Tzorach Li Ishfal Ruach. Being humility, being humble is not only in front of people who are great. Ela Af Lifnei Aktanim. The idea to be humble is even people, right, who are on a lower level. And you know that. It says, you know, Hevishval Ruach, he quotes, it says, Bifnei Kolodam. Bishval Ruach, be humble in front of people, in front of all people. Chaim Volozhiner, right, whose sefer we studied, Nefesh HaChaim, a while back, he points out like this. There are people who at least in private, they recognize their weaknesses, and they recognize they're not so great. Some people don't know that either. Some people think they really are great. That's the mistake that they're living. But it's already, right, you're already there, it's already a step up, at least if you recognize the truth of yourself, you're honest to yourself, and they recognize, you know, within themselves, the truth of themselves, and they recognize that, in fact, that they are not that great. However, when they come out in front of people, they try to act and try to give an impression that, in fact, that they are much, much greater than they truly are. So, Reb Chaim Volozhin, look at the words. Look at the words of the Mishnah that we just quoted. Hevishval ruach bi'anona bifnei kol adam. Not just between yourself, but even in public. Don't try to project that you're a bigger chacham than you really are. Don't try to pose that people should really think that you know much more than you really are. But you are what you are. That's the idea. Hevishval ruach bifnei kol adam. It's not enough that you might recognize, you know, within yourself, in the privacy, the fact that you have weaknesses, and you recognize the... But also, bifnei kol adam, bear the same humility also outside on the street in front of other people and behave accordingly. And as a matter of fact, he pointed out before, he said, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti, he quoted the Posik, the Chesedikin quoted the Posik here in Tehillim, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti, that from all my teachers I become wise. No, doesn't the Mishnah say, Ezehu Chocham, in Perek Daled the Mishnah Ovis, what's a Chocham? Haloimeid Mikol Odom. That's what the Mishnah says. The true Chocham is only one who's ready to learn from everyone. That is a chacham. Ezu chacham aloimed mikol adam. So the Baal Shem Tov once said, he said, the truth is you can learn from anyone. He said, even from an evil person. How you learn from an evil person? He said, even from a ganav you can learn. Why? Because look at all the planning that a ganav does, right, to do the wrong thing. You learn from him to take that energy to do the right thing. So you can learn from everyone. You can see, he says, how the ganav, or look how people sometimes are ready even to commit murder because they have a certain desire, they have a certain goal that they want to attain. They have to bump somebody out of the way because he's standing his way. Look how far people are willing to go to do something evil. So now take that cheshbon, take that lesson, how much energy, right, all the more so that you should be putting in doing the right thing. So the truth is, you can learn from everybody. As a matter of fact, that's what Rameir Shapiro said. Yaakovino lived in the house of Lavan 22 years. Remember, he said the Loshen in Vayishlach, Parshas Vayishlach says, "Im Lavan Garti," right? I dwelled, I lived with Lavan. And Rashi says, "Garti is Gematria Taryag." So Yaakovino was saying, "Taryag Mitzvah Shomarti." Even though I lived in the house of Lavan, I still managed to keep the Taryag Mitzvah, 613 Mitzvahs. And he says, "Veloy Lomadati Mimas of Aroim," and I did not learn from his evil ways. So Meir Shapiro says that Yaakov Avinu was not boasting. Taryag Mitzvah Shemarti. You know, this is a tremendous, amazing feat to live in the house of Lavan and say I was a complete tzaddik. Yaakov Avinu always said, "Katointi mikolach sodim." He said, "I was always humble from all the things that Hashem is doing to me." So he said just the opposite. Yaakov Avinu was not boasting. He was saying like this: Taryag Mitzvah Shemarti. It's true that I kept the Taryag Mitzvahs, but alas, lo lamadti mimasa v'roim. I didn't learn from his evil ways to do mitzvahs the way he did the evils. I should have learned from loving something positive also. Turning all the negativity and seeing how Lavan plans, right, and all the strategies and all the kayak, all the effort Lavan puts into bad things, I could have learned from Lavan to do the right thing the same way that he does bad things. So Yaakov is saying, "Veloy lomadati." So he's using anivus here. He says, "Yes, I kept the Taryag mitzvahs, but I didn't keep the mitzvahs in the way that I didn't do the good to the extent that he did bad. Lo lomadati mimaisa v'roim, did not learn from his evil ways to do good." In other words, that was the nekuda. Again, every person can teach one of how become a lambda iskalti to rise to a madrega. Is a one of the well-known mices is a interesting thing that they told this Yaakov Yosef, which was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, first-hand Talmud. A lot of the Torah of Baal Shem Tov we find from the Sefer told this Yaakov Yosef, because he writes throughout this forum, Shomati mipi moiri, I heard from my Rebbe, Shomati mipi moiri, I heard from my Rebbe, the Rebbe is the Baal Shem Tov. And they said that he came in front of the Baal Shem Tov, he told this Yaakov Yosef, the first time when he comes before the Baal Shem Tov, and this was before he became a chosid, before he became a chosid of the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov told him that everything that a person sees, Baal Shem Tov said to him, everything that a person sees or hears, you're able to learn something from Avodas Hashem. Every life's experience, if a person really looks at it, analyzes it, you can learn something to help you out to further your way in Avodas Hashem, to become a little bit greater Avodas Hashem, no matter what you see. So there's something very interesting to him to hear that from the Baal Shem Tov. He never heard such an idea. Whatever I see, I'm able to glean and learn something to help me out in Avodas Hashem, to bring me higher. So while they were speaking, he says that a non-Jew came to the house of the Baal Shem Tov, and he was a handyman who fixes things. So he's looking for work. So he asked the Baal Shem Tov, he says, do you have anything that needs to be repaired? For example, do you have a kalim, or maybe something, a broken door? It's a handyman, a roof, anything that needs fixing. Do you have anything that needs fixing? Baal Shem Tov says, no. He says, Baruch Hashem, he says, in my house, he says, everything is fine. There's nothing that needs repair. So the handyman asks them again. He says, search and search, look around. Maybe there's something that needs fixing. And if you'll search and you look a little better, you'll find there's something broken here and there that needs to be fixed. At that moment, the Baal Shem Tov turns around and he says to this newly Talmud, who's going to be his Talmud, to Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, he says, the truth is, the non-Jew is referring to Kalim, means to push it to Kalim, to simple Kalim, that need fixing. But I saw the Bnei Shemaim, he was sent as a shliach to give me Musar, that nothing is really perfect. I said everything is perfect. Shemaim sent me to realize there's always something that needs repair. There's something, he was sent as a handyman to ask me to fix Kalim, right? To fix doors, to fix knobs, to fix tables, chairs. But I saw that as a message, that when I say that there's nothing needs to be repaired, there's a problem. The person thinks that he's perfect. This was a message that was sent. So Mamela, he says, this handyman, his kavana was not for that. But when Shemaim was sent as a shliach, he's looking for work. But to send a message to me, to keep searching a little deeper, some soul searching, to see, is there anything in my character trait, or so far my midas, that need to be repairs. So it is said that the told this Yaakov Yosef still was not so convinced. Here he saw there was a situation that you could take out a lesson from Avodas Hashem, from the handyman. There's always something that needs repair. But he's not so convinced. So he said goodbye. He did not yet become a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. He goes out to the street and he's just thinking what happened, just again going over and over again, sort of like trying to digest what took place, his experience with the Baal Shem Tov. And he says, all of a sudden he says, another person, another non-Jewish person comes over to him and he says, can you please help me? He says, look over here, he says, my wagon overturned. It was a balagula. His wagon was overturned. And he says, I need help. Can't turn it up myself, right side up. Can you help me? The told us Yaakov Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef was not a particularly strong person. So Amela, he says to him, I'm not able to help you. And he says, you Jew, he says, you're able, you don't want to. The Kents, the Vilsnish. You're able. He took that, he says, now I realize again, there are many, many things that come our way. Mitzvahs, Masim Tovim, we feel challenged and we abandon it because we say to ourselves, we can't. The message that I learned again is, I can if I really want to. I just don't want to exert myself all that much. So it's easier to say that I can't. So here he gone, he saw again within a short period of time another experience and recognized that this is something that was sent in the Shemayim. By the way, a certain Chochem said, you know, Eizah Chochem Aloim the Makalodim, you can learn from everything. So he said like this, from technology you can also learn a lot of how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he pointed out, he said, from a train, you know what you learn from a train? That in 1 minute you can lose everything. You're just late by 1 minute. You see how important. From a train you learn out that from 1 minute sometimes you can lose everything. The importance of a minute. Importance of every moment in your life. Because 1 minute makes all the difference. In 1 minute, you can lose everything. He also pointed out, he says, I learned something from a telegram. From a telegram I learned is that you have to count your words because you pay for every word. So you have to count your words. You have to be careful. And finally he said also, I learned something from the telephone. I learned out, we speak over here and it's heard over there. Shemayim hears everything what you say over here. Make sure you're careful what you say. You say it over here, but recognize it can be heard very far away. So we're finishing up here. Rabbi says, goes a little bit further. In the Yochid Tzadikim, and he says, a person who humbles himself even in front of his Talmidim, a person who humbles himself even in front of his Talmidim, you know what you gain in addition to yourself? A person who follows this way in a nivus, his behavior is so refined that he's going to bring merit to society. Society is going to want to emulate such a person. And they're going to try to find out, where did he learn all of this? What religion does he belong to? What is his teachings? Where does it come from? Because this kind of a person is going to find favor in anyone who sees him. Because all of his deeds, Fisidre and Yonov and all of his practices, Mekubalem, his practices are accepted by people. They say, this is a wonderful way to live. And they always will praise him. They always praise him. And therefore, they will also have desire to emulate and be like him. And people will give a bracha to their own children. Halavai, you will be like that person. That's the kind of a bracha. You will be a role model for other people. Everyone will give a bracha to their son. Why don't you grow up to be like this person? And thereby, by this kind of behavior, that people see and admire this HaKiddush Hashem. Because you're following B'derech Hashem, because these are the traits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us. U'bezehu mekadish Hashem Baruch Hu. This is HaKiddush Hashem, he's sanctifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Aval hamizgoy, but a person who is proud, he's arrogant. U'mechalel Hashem Baruch Hu. So he desecrates the Shem Hashem, because people see, this is a Jew, this is his behavior. Is this what he's being taught? U'machti sarabim. And he brings others to sin as well. He's doing like a dead carcass that's flung in the street. You know what it is when there's a dead animal in the street, what happens? It doesn't take too many hours to go by. It just decays. People walk by, they hold their nose. So he says, whoever passes by, right? Right? Whoever passes by and sees the dead animal, so he puts his nose, hand on his nose, ashiyavr till he passes. A person who is proud, people can't stand to stand next to him. They sort of like hold their noses when they pass by him. It's an expression. A person, right, who has pride, who meganes Torah, he debases the Torah of Lomdeo and those who learn Torah, because they say, this is what the Torah teaches us. Is this the way you behave? He'll be the cause to drive people away from Torah. This is religion. This is how you deal with people. This is how you speak. They're going to say, what did Torah do? What do we gain from Torah? Look, this person supposedly learned Torah. And look how he behaves. Achrei Ashulam, they roim that they see the evil ways of this person who learned Torah, how he behaves. And because of that, he's going to be the cause that Torah in Haman Torah. He's going to separate him from Torah. So therefore, that's all the more. It's not just for yourself, but also the responsibility that you have for other people, again, to work and to strive to gain greater heights of Madregas in humility. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. We stop over here. We take a look at the sheet. Remember, the Yochid Tzadikim brought us, the memra of Rab Preda. Because he said one of the areas of humility is a Rebbe towards the Talmud. Right? A Rebbe towards the Talmud, the humility of a Rebbe towards the Talmud to a student. And he pointed out in what area the humility is that he should be patient with the Talmud. He should be patient and he should not hesitate to review the subject matter over and over again. As we find the great schar, the great reward, Rav Preda was an extreme. Rav Preda 400 times. Let's take a look. We have the Gemara right over here. Here's the Gemara, Daf Nun Dalet Neirvin. The Gemara tells us that Rav Preda Havale Hai Talmide. Rav Preda had a particular Talmud. The Gemara says, Davetonale Arba Meya Zimni. Rav Preda had a Talmud, had a student, he taught him 400 times. The Gomar. By the way, and after 400 times, he learned it. Okay, Baruch Hashem. He taught him 400 times. The good news is, the Gomar. He learned it. One time it happened that Rav Preda had an appointment, which meant that he was going to have to leave soon. He was teaching the Talmud, but Zimna Chodah, there was one time, Bayu'al Emilse de Mitzvah. There was a need for him to leave to do a Dvar Mitzvah. So the Rebbe and the Talmud knew that the Rebbe is going to have to leave, but it wasn't clear exactly when he's going to be called away. Meantime, he's teaching the Talmud. Until he has to leave, he's teaching the Talmud. So Tonala, he kept teaching the Talmud of Ligomar, and he didn't absorb. The Talmud just couldn't absorb. Omar Leis, or a Praedis, says to the Talmud, why is it? I've been teaching so many times. How come this time? All the other times, 400 times it worked. Why am I teaching you now so many times, and you're still not absorbing? He said, Hoyid the Maishun, why is it now different? Omar Leis, or the Talmud answered, because Mida Haishata, because being that now, the Omar Leil Amar, it was told to you, Ikim Milsa the Mitzvah, being that I know that you might be leaving any moment, you know what? It just ruins my concentration. Because I know that you may be called away. So therefore, it's bothering me. It's something in my mind. It's just not, my mind therefore is not at ease. Because I know, and therefore I can't fully concentrate. So, Aschoy Ledatoy. Because Kol Shaita Amine, because every moment I was saying to myself, Hashta Koymar, now you're going to get up. Hashta Koymar. Well, Malaysia of Prada said, imagine he taught him 400 times. This was the situation. He taught him 400 times, and the Talmud still didn't understand. And he gave an excuse because his mind couldn't concentrate, because he figured, now the Rebbe is going to leave, now the Rebbe is going to leave. What did Rav Preda do? He taught him another 400 times. The Gemara says, Omalei, have datech, he says, pay attention, Vasni Loch, I'll teach you again. Hoda tonalei, again, a second time, Arba meyizim nachrite. Shomayim was so impressed with that a heavenly voice came out, the Gemara tells us. A heavenly voice came out from the Shomayim, Nofak baskal v'omrelei. Rav Preda, you deserve tremendous reward. We give you two choices. Now everybody can say to himself and think to himself, what would you have chosen? Now here are two choices. Shemayim is giving him two choices as this tremendous reward. Nichaloch, is it okay with you? The Lisfeloch Dalad Meyashini, in other words, because you taught him an extra 400 times, you have a choice to ask to live an extra 400 years. In other words, his 120 is going to be 400 years. You can choose Arichas Yomim, long life, 400 years. Or maybe you can take another choice. You can choose that you and the generation have a share in the world to come. In the next world. So what did you choose? You choose Olam Haba, an extra nice share, a nice hefty share in Olam Haba, or choose long life, live 400 years. Omar says Rav Preda, Beine, I rather want the Ezka Ano Vidoiroi, I and the generational Almadosi to come to the next world. Omar Kosh Brokh said, you know what? I'm gonna give you both. You had the choice to choose long life on this world. You didn't choose long life on this world. You choose Olam Haba, I'm gonna give you both. You're getting Olam Haba, and you're gonna live an extra 400 years. And the question is, between you and me, the person has a choice, 400 years on this world. It's a limited world. 400 years sounds a long time. But it's a material world. Olam Haba is eternal life. We're talking about a person like Rav Preda. He really understands what the true values are. He really understands that Olam Hazeh, with all of its glory, is no match in any way, even 1,000 years, 2,000 years of Olam Hazeh, it doesn't come to Olam Haba. So why was he considered, why was this such a gewaldige thing that Shemayim said, oh, he made such a tremendous choice. You know what, we're going to give you both. As if he gave up something, because he gave up the 400 years on this world, he chose Olam Haba, so he got extra reward. In other words, he got extra reward for making the good choice. Why is that considered to be, why is he getting extra reward? For a person like Rav Preda, is that such a chiddush that he chooses Olam Haba? Let's take a look. The Sefer Bar Yosef, there's a Yosef Salanter, was a Choshev Magid in Yerushalayim, very, very Choshev a Sefer. And he asked the following, V'yesh Lahovin Bazeh. He said, I have to understand. He said like this. It seems like this. For teaching the Talmud 400 times, he gets one of two things. Either he gets an extension of 400 years, right? Or he gets Olam Haba. So he chooses Olam Haba, so now he gets both. So he says, if the reward for teaching the Talmud, Magiloi Haschar Loze Achas Mishteh, he's supposed to get only one of the two. Oilo Hoysev Al Chayev, Oid Arba Meyash Shonim. Either it have an extension of another 400 years, Oy Sheyizke Huve Doire Olam Haba. So Imkain Loma, so why is it? Babur Sheheshiv Rav Preda. Why is it? Just because he answered, he chose the Inisha Ezke Ano Vidoiri Loilam Haba, that I and my generation have Olam Haba, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you should give him both. Zu v'zu. The Nerem is there, it seems that because Shebochara prayed that Shiitin lo Olam Habo, and he didn't choose, right? Shoyesifu lo Al Yemei Chayov, that's why he was zoicha to get both. The question is, why do you give him a thank you for that? You give him a thank you for choosing Olam Habo? Rav Pleiter should understand more than anybody else, Chaya Netzach Adain Soif. And that is, by the way, there's no greater pleasure than Olam Haba. As is mentioned in the Mishnah, Novi says, Yofesho Achas. Mishnah says that 1 hour in Olam Haba is more than the entire, right? Is more than all the pleasures of this world. That's only 1 hour. So what's the godless? So why was he extra rewarded extra? Because he chose Olam Haba. So why do you give it to him? Why do you give it to him? So let's go for the next paragraph. Actually, time is short here, so I know what we're going to do. So what we're going to do is like this. Go to the second column, go to the Efsher. Okay, it's in the middle of the second column, left-hand column, the Efsher, in the middle. So he says, the Efsher. He says, the truth is, Be'emes hoya bazeh shos replayed a dover godl. The truth is, what replayed did was a dover godl. Umayset stok of a chesed im doiroi. What he did was a tremendous stok of a chesed with a generation, his generation. The fact that they didn't have. What the Be'er Yosef suggests like this. The truth is, a person like Rav Preda, living 400 years, what do you think he would have done the 400 years? In 400 years, he would have been able to acquire so much more Olam Haba. Don't Rav Preda! In 400 years, a person lives, right, 80, 90 years old. So all the mitzvahs that he could accumulate, right, is only within 80, 90 years. So whatever you can do in 80, 90 years, and by the way, we waste half of it or three quarters of it anyway. But whatever you're able to acquire is only within times out of 80, 90. If Rav Pleiter would have asked for 400 years, the truth is, he would have much more Olam Haba. Because that would have been, right, a result, that would have been a result of Avodas Hashem of another 400 years. And Avodas Hashem of 400 would have given him so much more Olam Haba. How come he didn't choose life of 400 years? You know why? Because remember, what was the second choice? Either you choose 400 years of life, or you and your generation come to Olam Haba. Right? Pray the sacrifice as Olam Haba for the generation. If he would have lived 400 years, he could have acquired so much Olam Haba in those 400 years, but the generation would not have that schus. They would have been with every person would have gotten whatever they deserve. The Baskol gave him a choice. Instead of 400 years life on this world, you and your generation go to Olam Haba. Said the Be'er Yosef, the godless of Rav Pleiter was, he sacrificed his own Olam Haba for the Olam Haba for others. He sacrificed his own Olam Haba. If he could have lived another 400 years, you know how much he could have done? You know how much more mitzvahs he could have acquired? He could have built himself an eternal, eternal Olam Haba, so much more. He didn't do it. He chose the other. Why? I and my people, my generation. Let's take a look here. Ulam, let's go to the last paragraph. Ulam, kim sho'omroloi, sheyizkehu v'doiroi l'chai olam habo, l'chein therefore viter, he was mevater, he gave up, al shifo'os ha'gdoila, he person would have had a tremendous desire, l'harich yomim b'avodas Hashem b'mitzvos u'masim tovim, which that is the toiv Yosef Gedoyla. For a prayer to digress, the toiv is to be able to live and do more mitzvahs. 400 years of acquiring, right? 400 years, four lifetimes, four more new lifetimes. They have to acquire so many mitzvahs, ma'asim toivim. But that would be a personal gain. That would be for his own Olam Haba. He gave it up. Kedei lezakois is called doiroi b'chayi Olam Haba. Ubocha sheyizkehu v'doiroi. He rather chose that he and his generation should have Olam Haba as his toiv is haklau. Because out of concern for others, shehedif, right? He gave preference. Toivus aklal ol toivosoi. So what Shemaim said, you gave up your Olam Haba for others, I'm giving you both. That's why he got both. Shemaim said, I'm not going to let you lose. A person gives up his own Olam Haba for others. Shemaim said, you know what? Such a sacrifice, we're not going to let you use. And you also are going to live 400 years, and your generation is going to come to Olam Haba. He got both. That's the story of Rabbi Yisrael, you know, when the Chofetz Chaim went to the Knesset Gedoyla, which was in Vienna. He was already a man of advanced age, and the Imre Emes assigned a great person, an Odom Gadol, his name was Rav Meir Don Plotsky, was his name. Rav Meir Don Plotsky was a machaber of a sefer called Kli Chemdo, a Polish goy with a svarim on pilpul. It's ala Torah on chamisha chumisha Torah, but a sefer of pilpul besides other svarim as well. He was a great Talmud Chacham, a great Godel, and Rav Meir Don, as was his name, was sent by the Ger Rebbe to accompany the Chofetz Chaim to go to Vienna. On the way from Radin, you know, going to Vienna was quite a distance, and the train stopped at quite a few train stations. And you can imagine many, many people heard of the Chofetz Chaim, right? His train is stopping the station, so they came out to have a glimpse, to be able to have a glimpse. Many people didn't see him. It's not like today, modes of transportation is easy. Many people, of course, everybody heard about him, such a tzaddik, do want to have an opportunity even to look at him. Chofetz Chaim did not go to the window. So they were disappointed. And Rav Meir Don says, Rebbe, why are you disappointing all these people? People have come out. They came out to the train station. They want to see you. Chofetz Chaim said, you know, the Sefer Hasidim writes that a person who benefits personal gain from his Torah on this world is detracted from the world to come. I see all this honor that's given to me, presumably because they figure I learned some Torah. So all the hanoah, all the pleasure of seeing all this honor may take away from my olam haba in the next world. So Rav Meir Don said, Rebbe, to be mahana yidin, it's kedai to lose some olam haba. It's kedai. And he went to the window. And he went to the window. To give pleasure to other Jews, it's kedai to lose a little bit of your olam haba. Don't know what it means. To give pleasure to another yid. To give pleasure to another yid. To do a toive to another yid. The Rebbe Yatzev Lubavitch, Rebbe Yosef Yitzchak once said, he said in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, but he said that if a person lives on this world for 70 years and you do a favor to another yid once in 70 years, it was kedai to be born and live 70 years, just for that alone. To a toive to another yid. Do a favor to another yid. Talking about a novel, let's complete. We just have another 3 minutes. Let me just mention this. It was in the year 2007 that a group of Rosh Yeshivas went to Eretz Yisrael in order to give encouragement and support to the staff of the students of the Shuvu schools. You might remember that I was there also, actually, at the Agudah convention quite a number of years ago when Rapam got up, and it was on the Matzoy Shabbos, one of the major sessions, that says that there's so many that have come out of Russia, former Soviet Union, and they have no Jewish education whatsoever, and if 70 years of communism, they know nothing about their heritage. It was forbidden to do that. But now that they're here in America, he says, we have to, and also in Eretz Yisrael they were. They were here in America, in Eretz Yisrael. Particularly was concentrating in Eretz Yisrael. He said, we have to establish yeshivas. We have to establish yeshivas that these people from the former Soviet Union should be able to know about their heritage and get a Jewish education. It was just a fascinating thing. That was because that one speech, right after that, all kinds of people came together and the meeting was set. And that was the beginning, what started a chain of tens and tens of different, all over Eretz Yisrael, different schools, Shuvah schools, called Shuvah. Shuvah means return. Mm-hmm. I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael once, many times, but particularly I'm one of the people who are very much involved in Shuvah. Somebody from America was also there. So he had asked me to come, he's going to take me around to see some of the schools. So he showed me one or two. And right on the spot, they say a few words in Hebrew. So whatever it was, I don't remember what language it was, but it sounded like Hebrew. And so we said what we had to say. In one place, there was a koil, a shuvah koil. It was an amazing thing to see. But they had a plan. The plan was because, you know, there's always, every year, there's a yearly famous parlor meeting in Flatbush where Gedalia Weinberger, with the Sarah Solomon comes, and he asked me to be a guest speaker to relate the experiences of Shuvu. So I did what I had to do. But in 2007, a group of American Rosh Yeshivas went there to Israel to give support and encouragement to the staff of the Shuvu schools, to staff members, and also to the Talmidim. So it was a Friday morning. The Rosh Yeshiva went first. They went to the Kaisel, to Davin. They go to the Kaisel, to Davin, and there was numerous tourists from America and so on who recognized them, and immediately they went to Shalom Aleichem, they went to greet them. Standing off to the side, davening for himself at the Kaisel, was a recent Baal Tshuva. Someone who's new to the scene. There was a recent Baal Tshuva standing on the side. When he finished davening, he noticed that there's a wide circle of people surrounding a few individuals, namely the Rosh Yeshivas. So curious, he went over and asked for an explanation. Why are there so many people surrounding these few people over here? So he was told that there is a group of prominent American Rosh Yeshivas who came for a few days. And the person said to him, maybe you'd like to have a bracha from one of these Rosh Yeshivas. Mashuva said, sure, he said, but I don't know any of them. So the person said, don't worry about it. I'll take you over. So he takes him over, and granted, it happened to be to Rabban Shechter, Mashiva of Chaim Berlin. And he was very thrilled. He never saw the man. I don't know if they never even heard of him either. He takes him over to Rabban Shechter. Rabban Shechter saw right away that it was about Shuva, and he gave him all the time in the world to speak to him, and he asked him a little bit about his journey to Yiddishkeit, you know, how it went, and his experiences and becoming from. And certainly gave him a bracha, and personally he went away, Moli Simcha, very elated. Wherever he went the rest of the day, he's telling everybody, I got a bracha from Rosh Yeshiva and Rabban Shechter. Friday night he ate a suit at a particular place, and he told him, I got a bracha from Rabban Shechter. So the person said to him, didn't you get a bracha from Shmuel Kamenetsky? He says, I don't know who Shmuel Kamenetsky is. Matter of fact, I don't know anybody. All I know is they took me to a Rosh Yeshiva, and again they got a bracha. Shabbos morning he eats at a different place, and he tells the person also, he said, you know, I got a bracha from Rabban Shechter. And that person says to him, well, did you get a bracha from Shmuel Kamenetsky? He says, I don't understand. They just asked me the same question just at last night's Suda. While they were sitting there, somebody brings over a picture to the table of a newspaper, and he sees the picture of the Rosh Yeshivas from America, and the Bashua says, hey, that's Rabban Shechter there in the middle. That's the person who gave me the bracha. And somebody says, but the man sitting next to him, that's the Shmuel Kamenetsky. So he says, incredible, he says, that's the man who took me to Rabban Shechter for bracha. So, this is Yaniv is a Reb Shmuel. You want a bracha, go to Rabban. He says, it's not me, let's go to him. He took him, he was the one who gave him the opportunity to take a bracha. So I just reminded, many years ago, Reb Yankiv and Reb Moshe both were in Telz Yeshiva in Cleveland. They came for a reason why they came, it was a simcha, I believe, for some reason. They came. And Reb Moshe was known as the Poisik. Reb Yankiv is the one people ask Eitzes from, the Pekeach. So, people asking Shaz, Reb Moshe. And some people felt so a number went over to Reb Yankiv also to ask him all kinds of shilas. Reb Yankiv said, the Poisek is Reb Moshe, I don't pass him Reb Moshe's around. By the way, Reb Yankiv was older than Reb Moshe. And I can tell you this, I don't know if you were there, but there was one of the last dinners of the Yeshiva Tiferes Yerushalayim. I was there because somebody who was honored, who was close to me, that was there. And Reb Yankiv spoke on behalf of Reb Moshe. And it was, Reb Moshe was the guest of honor. It was his something or other birthday. I don't know what the number or whatever it was. So they honored him. And Reb Yankiv says, all these people coming to honor Reb Moshe, I'm older than him, he said. This was Reb Yankiv saying, giving a brother to Reb Moshe.